What is going on, everybody? It is Tuesday, November 29th, and this is another Tailgoats podcast. My name is Will Finn. I'm joined by my brother, Andy Finn, and the man in the middle, Mark Sergic. Tonight, we are coming to you live from Mama Romito's Pub and Pizzeria in North Royalton, Ohio. So if you hear music in the background, that is what we have going on here. It's at the Old Firehouse in North Royalton, 8611 Ridge Road. And, you know, it's under new ownership and things are looking good around here.
Yeah, Mary invited us up here. You know, the music in the background is great, a little ambience. You guys missed out on the scene I saw prior to you guys showing up. I wish they were still here.
I kind of got the tail end of it.
Yeah, you know, she announced to the entire bar that she loved this man. And
deeply in love.
Deeply in love. Great things happening at Mama Romito's.
Yeah, so excited to be here.
It's a place for pizza and for love.
I mean, Mary may have to run with that one after what we saw earlier. But, guys, we're a couple minutes in already. And we have so much going on in the sports world that we're going to try to jam-pack once again into an episode that we say is, hey, it's going to be less than an hour. It always ends up being that way.
No, we're rusty. We haven't done it in a long time. We apologize.
Yeah, it's been a while since the three of us did this.
And that's why we had to take our second shot at it.
Guys, the Browns were massive winners this weekend, 23-17. And quite honestly, it's probably, even though it's a losing season, it feels like it's one of the bigger wins in the last couple of years, even with the losing season, given everything that's going on this year. Jacoby Brissett's finished for the year as long as Deshaun Watson doesn't get hurt. He finishes at 4-7. We played the schedule game a bunch. Guys, what grade are you giving Jacoby Brissett and the job he did?
D+, at best. Because he left us in a position where we had to win every game moving forward.
So
maybe an F?
Statistically, a top 10 quarterback, I disagree greatly with that grade. I feel like
I'm giving him a B+.
That's fair. Andy, you're a little rough on him. Go ahead.
I mean, he left us off with having to win every single game to even have a shot at the playoffs. Did he not?
Was he the one playing defense?
How many times did he get sacked?
I don't have that number in front
of me. A lot.
Okay.
Nick, thank you for Nick Chubb. We should be very thankful we have him as our running back, and we didn't take anybody else in that draft aside from Nick Chubb, but he did not leave us in a good situation.
Andy, you're coming off really negative off what I thought was an awesome win.
We're 4-7.
I understand that, but Jacoby Brissett's a backup quarterback, and that schedule was rough.
We're what, a top 10 pick right now?
We don't have a first-round pick.
Well, our pick is getting it in the top 10, right? It's no different than any season that we've watched in the past. Am I wrong?
So hard on Jacoby Brissett. I thought he did a good job. I thought he kept us in games. I thought a lot of times the defense let us down. I think Stefanski kind of let us down at times, too, with some of his play calling.
There's a lot of letdowns.
I think he got real conservative. And I think maybe Stefanski's kind of to point the finger at sometimes this as well.
At least we didn't pay for Russell Wilson.
Oh.
Still has more bathrooms than touchdowns.
It could be bad.
Well,
I killed the mood.
Yeah, I think you kind of did there, Andy. I'm going into my next question. I'm going to pass on you and go to Mark.
What?
I have the answer already then from you, it feels like. I have, can they do it?
No.
Starts.
Can we run the table? Realistically, I'm going to probably say no.
Okay, so they're favored in half the games.
Yeah, so I'd say that we don't run the table, and I agree with that. Watson's coming off of almost a two-year absence. Granted, you got to expect he's going to have some type of rust. Thank God we're facing the Texans this week. Hopefully he gets feet wet, gets the ball rolling. I think it's going to take a lot of pressure off of them stacking the box and help stretch the field, making our offense a lot more dynamic.
Yeah, you stretch the field out a little bit more with Watson, a little bit more accurate down the field, but a guy that is explosive with his feet if he does get in trouble. And we'll see what he does with our receivers. If you see a big uptick in receiving yards.
Stefanski loves the QB sneak, so.
Right. That's a big thing. You said you cannot stack the box anymore like they have the last couple weeks. Obviously, the teams have been showing us different looks. Not so much as the Steelers with everybody up front. Steelers are big winners last night on Monday Night Football. They're at 4-7, tied with us. Actually, we're third in the division. They're last right now. And I know that that stuff does matter as it pertains to the schedule next year. But the way I think that they're going to approach this, and Mark, you said this already, there's the ring rust of he hasn't played in 2 years. He's going to go back to Houston where the drama is already building there. We mentioned that we were going to touch on this very briefly. The Texans won 9-1. They're hungry for a win, maybe a little bit of revenge, and maybe this is a game that, hey, our season's lost.
Yeah, they probably had that circled on the schedule.
Our season's lost. This is a chance for some people to get some revenge on Deshaun Watson, and I really feel like that the team is going to do this as a week-by-week, look at this from a week-by-week approach. You can't run the table without winning the first one. This weekend, I feel like with the Browns 7-point favorites, I'm not touching the spread. However, I think that they can get the job done conservatively if the defense shows up at all.
So I look at this the same way I looked at Joe Flacco coming back to Cleveland. Somewhere he's familiar playing, somewhere he's familiar winning. Now, did Deshaun win that much in Houston? No, but he's comfortable in that stadium, and I think this is just going to be another walk in the park for him. Let people boo him or whatever. At the end of the day, the team still traded him. He did him no wrong. They got a lot of draft picks out of him, so there's really no point to boo Deshaun unless you're against the court side of things.
Right, and the whole this is turning into an attorney/lawyer circus with Tony Busby's now. Not going to get into any of the comments about the women involved. Bringing 10 of these women to the game is a circus act. There's nothing else other to be said about it. Regardless of what you think is right or wrong, there's no reason why they should be there, and they're going to be panning over every single time. And quite frankly, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Deshaun has a massive game against them as a part of motivation. And hey, I've been waiting. I'm healthy. I'm ready to play.
If you're one of these women, do you want your face out
there? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. The camera's going to be on that suite a quarter of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently they're going to be there to say that we're still here. We still have don't forget.
I this isn't sports related, but I thought that's what the court is for. If you settled, isn't it done and over with?
You came to an agreement. And
you could still go to a game as a fan.
Right. Yeah. So, one weekend at a time. However, I've done this before, and we're going to do it right now. We are going to look ahead, and we're going to play the schedule game.
I told Mark today I'm not doing this.
Well, we are.
You have to win out. That's the end of the schedule. You have to win out.
We said that 6-7 or 7-6 to this point. I'm sorry. They play 5-6 or 6-5 that they had a shot. They're only at 4 wins right now. And quite frankly, you do have to win out. There's very, very not much room for error with 6 games left. 6 games gets you to 10-7. You lose one of those. We know in the past the AFC has been very, very tight at the final wild card spots. Unfortunately, when you look at the teams that are ahead of us, and a lot of them have one thing in common. The New York Jets are at 7 right now, Patriots at 8, Chargers at 9, Colts at 10, Jacksonville 11. Vegas at 12, 7, 8, 9 teams right now, 3-0 against us, and that's a massive, massive hurdle to climb. They're 2 games behind in the division, and they are 2-1 in the division. I won't play a schedule game because I know you guys don't want to do it. I want to hear from you this before we move on. Do you find their road to the playoffs a bit simpler by winning the division, even though they're this late in the season? They are 2 games behind Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think that's your best route is win the division. Luckily, our division has fallen the same way we have in some bad losses. I think the division's still open. Again, you have to
win out. Yeah.
So if you lose one game, it can't be a divisional game.
Yeah, and it's all going to come out to the second game of Watson. And when we face the Bengals
in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and the Bengals have been super hot lately. So that's going to determine right there
calling timeout super hot with Ja'Marr Chase coming back.
Yeah, so like I said, I mean, that's going to be Watson's second game back. Hopefully he's on all cylinders, but we'll see.
It's exciting. You know, I don't want to, obviously, in the NFL, we've seen even just last week Baltimore losing to Jacksonville. Right. Anything can happen, but it is exciting that potentially you get that one win out of the way against the Texans, and then you have Cincinnati, Baltimore. So we'll get there next week. Very, very exciting stuff. Right now it says 5% chance. Baltimore's only played two divisional games, which doesn't make any sense. They're 2-0.
It's also a team that's ready to run their quarterback out of the city.
I can't wrap my head around it. I feel like, you know, they've got their guy there, and I don't understand why.
I can understand losing the Jaguars being frustrated. They lost the Jaguars by one, right? The Justin Tucker kick that people thought went in. But my Jags, when we talked about them earlier,
Doug Peterson's doing a real good job, which we all thought he would be.
Speaking of Justin Tucker, one card I got here, Jay Feely made news yesterday. He's talking about Cade York, and everybody was starting to, you know, they wanted to blame Bohorquez in Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland fans always try to find a finger at somebody, and they're saying, oh, Bohorquez in the past has had issues with holding. Jay Feely came out and said, I went and watched every miss that Cade York has had this year. Misses are on him. There were no bad snaps or holds. Bohorquez has struggled in the past couple years with holding, but he worked hard this offseason. The biggest issue I see is plant foot placement. Now, we saw if we were going to get into entertainment side of things, I have insider information on what the hell happened at the stadium with the donuts being done.
I know nothing.
Do I dare do it?
That's up to you. Oh, you guys got your pizza coming in.
Awesome.
So, thank you.
Thank you so much. Here's what happened.
We're about to review your shot here shortly.
Are you? All right, well, I'm going to be the one that gets to talk to you guys, so I'll be ready very shortly to...
We'll wave you down. We got an extra mic for you, too.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I get to be a part of the team.
We'll do one more if you can make one more for him and one for you. Okay.
Oh, then, all right. You're going to have the experience already in the shower. It's a good time.
Awesome.
Thank you. All right. Well, sorry about that.
We're not editing it out. It's part of doing it live.
Right. So, allegedly, someone climbed the fence. I don't know what fence they got in. They're running all over the stadium looking and trying. Andy, none of the golf carts were working. They found a truck that worked and just beelined it towards the field. And quite frankly, the field looked embarrassing, and there were people tripping up on the yes.
I didn't see that.
They found one. What?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, there was one person that they have video footage of hitting the tire mark, and we broke a tackle.
Oh, jeez.
You know, the big argument right now is, the AstroTurf versus the grass field and everything like that. I don't know, guys. It was the Cade York hype way, way, way too big? The stats on him right now, he's 17 for 23. His long is still 58. Four for seven from 50-plus, but he has the two misses under 39 and a miss between 40 and 49. And there was a lot of hype, and I don't know if it's in his head now.
I don't think it is. I think there's just a lot of pressure. You're coming into a situation where the last good kicker we have was Phil Dawson. Before that, after that, it's been pathetic, and it's been a position we needed to fix. We got a guy that went out there and won us the first game of the year in a game that we needed to win.
And we lose without him.
Correct. But he'll get better over time. It's not something that's worth giving up on. You gave up a fourth-round draft pick. You took him in the fourth round. Again, get your guy. You got a kicker that... has shown he's got the leg, shown he can kick in Cleveland. Just give him some time. I think he's fine.
I agree. He's made the big kicks. Played at a big college, played at LSU.
Big kicks there.
Week one, he was the game winner at, 58 was the game winner?
Yeah, it wasn't a gimme.
No, not at all. And, he's been there. There's been times his kicks have been blocked at the line. I don't know if his trajectory is too low or what's going on with that. But, I'm not ready to pack it in on Cade York, especially after spending a fourth rounder on him.
Andy, let's move. And Mark, let's move to primetime. There was calls for us to cancel primetime picks, and Brian Nagel has now since back said, no, you guys are warming up. It's fine. You guys are doing okay. So shout out to Nagel. But however, he has to start giving us some picks because he can't be very hard on us if he's not giving us anything there. Andy, I'm going to run, and Mark, I'm going to run through these real quick. 2-2 last weekend. We'll say we're lukewarm. We were the back door away on Thanksgiving from being 3-1. Then last night's game was just a joke. It was like nobody wanted to win that game. The Colts and the Steelers, and Kenny looked good. I mean, big Mr. Small Hands.
Yeah, I can't watch a game with Kenny Pickett in it and Matt Ryan and just
Let's fire these off. And as you guys know, the picks are always on Twitter. Thursday Night Football, Bills -4 at New England. Andy, rapid fire.
I like the Pats +4.5. I think it's a 3-point game.
Oh, it's 4.5 now?
I saw 4.5.
Okay.
Did I give you 4?
You give me 4.
I apologize. But I like 4.5. I think it's a
in New England
2-3 point game in New England.
Mark?
I see like it's a trap, and I think that the Patriots could cover, but I'm stupid, so I'm going to go ahead and take the Bills.
All right. I'm with you here. I think that the Bills can actually torch them. Andy, you're probably going to be on the right side of things and convince me by Thursday night to overturn Mark's one veto vote.
Yeah, I know nothing.
Moving on to Sunday Night Football, another game that just is oblong, and who the hell knows what's going to happen with this line. Colts and Matt Ryan going to Dallas, Jerry World, -11. Andy, go ahead.
I don't know. We saw on Thanksgiving, they're getting the extra days off. Colts playing Monday night, going to Sunday. I like the Cowboys -11 with the extra time off.
No back doors allowed.
No.
Mark?
Go on Colts. Give me the points. Jeff Saturday apparently looked really stupid last night.
No timeout.
With his clock management.
Yeah.
Maybe he learns his lesson and get within 11 points on Sunday night.
I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think he's just got the headset on.
I don't know. That's exactly me. I'm the Jeff Saturday of this show, so give me the Colts.
I'm going with Dallas. I think they're going to sorry, Mark. I think they're going to torch them. The only way -11 covers is by backdoor again. And Monday Night Football, we have the New Orleans I can never do this. New Orleans Saints. At Tampa Bay, -3.5 coming off their big loss. They're at 5-6 right now. And they're sputtering. Mark, you lead this one off.
Let's see. What are we at, 3.5?
Yeah, -3.5 bucks.
I think Tom Brady wins this game and rights the ship. But I think it's going to be close. So I'm going to take the Saints in the points with Chris Olave.
Yeah, I like Saints +3.5. Again, I think it's a 3-point game.
You guys got me. Let's go Saints. All right. NFL done. You want to do this pizza here real quick before we get into NCAA? Because
I mean, it's still pretty hot. I'm guessing, and I got to pick it up and cut it.
Okay, Andy, you're going to lead off this segment, the NCAA stuff.
I thought you had to cut the pizza, and you want him to lead off.
No, I thought you said it was still too hot.
Yeah, he said wait.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I'm not trying to burn my mouth.
All right, Andy. Very very exciting season. I feel like we were getting into the maction part of the year, and it kind of was a little bit of a letdown. The games weren't as high scoring, I feel, as they are in the past. Everybody takes the over. Not as much fun. Some games more predictable this year than others. But here we are going into the conference championship weekend with some drama. The college football playoff bracket, or whatever you want to say, the six teams were just announced. And obviously, no matter what, there is going to be movement before next week.
Yeah, it just came out. There'll be a little bit of movement. I'm going to start off with this. So, six of the conference championships this weekend have ranked teams in them. Five of those have ranked opponents in both of them. One of them doesn't. Which one is that?
The Big Ten?
It's the Big Ten. They've got to fix that. They've got to get rid of the divisions. Having Ohio State and Michigan in the same division is putrid. It ruins the Big Ten championship every year. It's very rare that there's a good team playing against Ohio State or Michigan.
It all depends if Wisconsin's good.
So, right.
Which They could be.
Now that they got Luke Fickell.
Luke Fickell.
With Luke Fickell.
Do we do a video? What did we do last year? We were making fun of Lane Kiffin and Chip Kelly. And, oh, my God, that video was hilarious.
Yeah. All this guy's changing over.
But anyways, listen, everybody, more football is good football.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan, they want that game. Once again, slap me if I'm wrong when I say this.
Slap you regardless?
The Big Ten wants them in these divisions for that game to be like a planned game to the Big Ten championship, which makes absolutely no sense. Let them play like a rival, and guess what? If Michigan wins, and it was that, once again, the score was a little bit oblong because it got out of hand at the end. Hold on. Yes, it did.
Stop the run.
They sold out on the run and got destroyed on the run. However, everybody in America, their stance has always been with football. More football is good football. They run it back a week later and then decide. I don't understand a conference championship where you don't even have the two best teams remotely close to the championship. Michigan's the best right now. Purdue's what?
They are, I mean, we'll get to it, but they're 8-4. A four-loss team is in a Power 5 conference championship.
In the vicinity of Purdue and Michigan to Indianapolis, obviously the game it's going to be packed.
Do people really care?
Andy, you tell me, because you did the notes here, how do you want to direct this? Do you want to talk CFP, or do you want to go through the bowl games?
No, let's just run through the bowl games. You guys rapid-fire pick them. I've got my picks. I got my notes
and
on
you
them.
Said you want less than 1 minute on each, because we got six, or how many
We got, sorry, Aunt Donna, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's
shout
8 or 9.
Shout out to Aunt Donna, listen to every one of them, and we do apologize every time there is one expletive, and I mark it on Apple Podcasts that there is an expletive. Andy, lead this
I
off.
I dropped it out. So Friday night, we start off Conference USA, North Texas, and UTSA. North Texas is 7-5. UTSA is 10-2. They're -8.5. They played earlier in the year. UTSA won with a touchdown with 15 seconds left in the game. They're 31-27 winners. I like UTSA to win again, not cover, though.
I'm going to take the Roadrunners. I think the cover.
I thought about building this money line parlay with UTSA, and I was going to stick with them just because. We're getting her mic'd up here real quick. There's a shot here that needs an explanation.
Yes.
Before we get into the rest, this is perfect timing because we were literally about to start another segment.
Hold on 1 second. I got to adjust a little bit.
All right. There you go. You should be. There we go.
Am I good?
You're good.
We're good.
So, Audrey in the shower. Audrey.
You asked me at, like, I don't know.
How'd the name come about?
I was 21 and I figured, how else could I get other people to take a shot? And who doesn't want to see Audrey in the shower?
So, over under, how many people have had Audrey in the shower?
After the last 10 years, it's a pretty well known shot in Garfield. So.
Okay. Perfect. Well, you can't tell us what's in it, so cheers.
It's a secret.
Cheers to Audrey in the shower.
I'll just do it for the sound effect.
Yeah, there you go. I am impressed.
There's a lot in there.
Sorry, you had a big shot. Doesn't it taste like a lemon head?
Yes.
It does.
It's very good.
It's very good, Audrey. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So when you come up here, come see Audrey and ask for the Audrey in the shower.
Audrey, what nights do you usually work?
I'm here on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay. That's,
so I every think day but Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Did you add an extra day of the week in there? Because...
All right, Audrey, thank you. We'll unmic you.
We have you mic'd up right now. Don't walk away. You'll rip everything off the table. Thank you so much.
Good shot. I liked it.
It was actually pretty good. Yeah. Mine kind of settled.
I'm impressed with her.
Ours were sitting for a while.
I don't know the last time Audrey's ever had a microphone in front of her, but she was very comfortable on the mic.
Oh, she's
maybe more comfortable than you, Mark.
Absolutely.
I feel like I gotta move this pizza in case Mary shows up. At any rate, so we're all on the Roadrunners.
Roadrunners.
Okay.
I don't know about the spread, but
8.5 conference championship game.
Mark, did you get the image there?
Yes.
Okay. I'll send you
that. Go ahead. My notes. All right. Pac-12. We're revisiting James Draws. The USC, what happened? The classic one. Utah, 9-3. USC, 11-1. Potentially playing to get into the championship, the college football championship.
Where's this game at?
This is, I think
Rose Bowl?
It's at the Rose Bowl. I think okay. It's a home game. I didn't look it up. So last time they played, Utah scored a touchdown with 48 seconds left, went for the two-point conversion, won by 1 point. USC is number six. Utah's number 14. It's -3 Utah. I think I like USC to win this. I think they got a lot to play for, even though Utah's trying to spoil it.
Yeah, I think Lane will have them ready. There's a lot on the line here. And you have them, obviously, as of last week, -6. We saw in the college football playoff, they are number four. They are a winning in for me.
Correct.
I find it hard to believe the CFP that hasn't had that Oregon Pac-12 type team. I think they'd love to have a USC, who, by the way, is coming to the Big Ten.
Yeah, so this is actually a neutral site game. It's where the Raiders play out in Las Vegas.
Oh, thank you.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thanks, Mark.
So I think Caleb Williams, I believe he's the hair ahead of for the Heisman. He gets another statement game. CJ Stroud struggled a little bit last week. I think he's going to ball out and lead the Trojans and cover the 3 points.
Perfect. So we're all on USC.
Can I make one comment about the Caleb Williams thing?
Yeah.
You both are not OSU fans. And we've had this conversation before.
I'm a big CJ Stroud
fan. About the Heisman. What would you guys say to the Gen Pop that has been so hard on him? I don't want to piss anybody off that listens to the show. I learned, and you guys have all been around the country and see what OSU fans are, what the rest of the world thinks of them.
I'd say stop. Michigan's better right now.
And he's going to be remembered for... You can hear in his voice, zero conference titles, zero Michigan wins. It's tough.
I think Ryan Day was left in a good spot. He was left with a very good team, and he's being exposed now.
I think Ryan Day is a good coach, in the fact that he basically wins every game, but the last 2 years he's lost to Michigan, and now people are in around the area, they're calling for him already.
Look, you guys know where my fandom is.
If you go 11-1, I would take that all. My team, the Miami Hurricanes, aren't even going to the Little Caesars Bowl. They're not going to any bowl. I'd love to have a coach. Granted, we have Mario Cristobal, but that's beside the point. I'm just saying, I think they expect 12-0 every single year.
That's annoying. That's the God's gift to football stuff is annoying.
Granted, Urban Meyer would lose to Purdue or Wisconsin every once in a while, but he never lost to Michigan, and that's why he's held to such a higher standard.
Right. Yeah. CJ's stats are unbelievable, but you said Caleb is slightly ahead right now?
I believe he is.
Okay. Cool. Andy, I'm sorry for interrupting that, but that's a point that needs to be talked about.
No, I think Jim Harbaugh has done a very good job. You look at the COVID year, he was 2-4, pathetic. People are calling for his head, and now he's back-to-back college football playoffs, given they beat Purdue, which they should. He's turned the program around. He's playing Jim Harbaugh, the Harbaugh family football there, and people don't like that. I mean, you show what his defense has done, and his quarterback isn't that impressive. They don't really have that good of a quarterback. They depend on the run, and you know they keep their offense on the field, and they just wear down these defenses.
And the last thing I want to add here is we mentioned the coaching staffs. I mean, Luke Fickell's already going to Wisconsin. It's just another, I'll call him a blue chip coach at this point. What he's done at Cincinnati has been unbelievable. Mark's handing me numbers over here right now. Caleb Williams, actually massive, massive favorite at Heisman, -2,500.
Is he or is he getting out at the right time?
Andy, I mean,
Sauce Gardner,
yeah,
Kobe Bryant,
not even in the
Desmond
conference
Ritter.
Championship. I think he's getting out.
And you know what? And maybe he is. And maybe that's what Urban Meyer did. You look at him. He went to Bowling Green. He was very successful at Utah. Maybe he left Utah at the right time and got Florida. So, I mean, this could just be the next progressive step to go to a bigger organization before, like I said, the downfall.
And he goes to that division in the Big Ten that ain't that good. All right, so let's move on to Saturday, Big 12 championship.
I'm sorry, I apologize to everybody breaking any segment up, but I feel like that was important to talk about.
So Saturday noon, Big 12 championship, Kansas State and TCU. They're playing again this year. Kansas State's number 12, TCU number 4. They're number 3 in the college football playoff now. They're 12-0. They're undefeated. They need to win. They're minus 2.5. Last time they played Kansas State, they beat them by 10, 38-28. Guys, what do you got on this one? I'll go last.
I'm going Wildcat money line. I'm not buying in on the Horned Frogs. I'm just not. I think there's an upset here, and I think that's going to lead the way in for Ohio State to get into this playoff. And I think TCU is going to be the one that drops. I think it's more likely that Utah upsets USC than Kansas State beating TCU.
Don't start this. So that means this is a way Ohio State and Alabama gets into this?
Potentially.
It's potential.
That's disgusting. But
it is what it is.
I'm just saying, you painted the road.
I'm going upset and TCU falls. Money line. I don't need the points.
I'm with you, Mark. I like Kansas State here. TCU has been exposed, I feel, the last couple of weeks. They've played in close games. I mean, they were seconds away from losing to Baylor.
We haven't even talked about this on this podcast yet. That walk-off.
It was impressive, but again, shouldn't have been there.
Unbelievably disciplined special teams that they... And, you know, Baylor actually should have won that game. All they had to do, they were allowed to sub one person, and the game's over. You knew that, right?
They messed it up.
No, I talked to Dan Ramon about this, and Dan wants to get on the show and talk some of this stuff out because these rules are cool that people don't know. Baylor was allowed to sub a player, and they didn't do it. That's where the head coaching matters, man.
There's weird rules. And, one of the rules they need to get rid of is not being allowed to spike the ball with under 3 seconds left in the game. But at any rate, Will.
Maction.
What's your pick, Will?
What's your pick?
Oh, I'm going to go.
Do you want Wildcats or Horned Frogs?
I'm going to be honest, Andy and Mark. I know that you're not going to be happy when I say this, but I think TCU has sputtered here a little bit. I think Kansas State's the right opponent for them to right the ship. And I think that they do move to 13-0 and cover.
Okay. You think they cover that as well. Wow. All right.
You have minus 2.5 here.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think they cover.
I'll put out a chart with all of our picks on it, too. I can't wait for this, like the logos and all that stuff.
Do we need to send you? Do we need to see our face?
I'm writing down.
We'll make stickers with like a fat head.
Yeah, do headshots?
Yeah.
All right, so Maction, that's actually our next one. Toledo 7-5 against Ohio. This one's at Detroit Field in Detroit.
Or it's Ford Field. Yep.
In Detroit. Toledo is minus 1.5 going into this game. I know OU lost their quarterback, but they haven't missed a step.
Right.
And what stands out to me in this game, and this is why I'm taking Ohio, don't even need the points, plus 13 in the turnover margin. Number 6 in the nation at that. Toledo, minus 8. That's number 117 in Division I football. All OU has done is take away the football and protect the football. Where Toledo's been a little bit sloppy with it. I like OU here still. They haven't missed a beat. Give me the Bobcats.
I'm also going to go Ohio. Toledo's lost 3 of the last 5. So I'm going to go with the hot team. Give me Ohio.
Once again, this is the Maction, their divisions are dumb. It takes away from part of the way the conference championships are run, but I'm all over Ohio there, Andy.
Oh, yeah. All right, clean sweep on that one.
Yep.
All right, Mark.
I can't believe we're going to be talking Sun Belt on here, but rules are rules.
Mark darted off to the bathroom.
We got time.
But we'll go Sun Belt. Unfortunately for this one, Coastal Carolina and Troy. Troy is minus 8.5 point favorites. Coastal lost Grayson McCall. Huge impact on offense. We saw it last week when they lost to 40 by James Madison. The offense, the explosive offense just isn't there under center. I like Troy in this one.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, they are not the same team. James Madison just beat the piss out of them last weekend. I don't know what else needs to be said about that. It's on to basketball for Coastal Carolina now. The Chanticleers, right? Am I saying that right? Mark, you're rejoining us, the Sun Belt, Coastal Carolina without their is that their quarterback, Grayson
McCall? Yeah, Grayson McCall.
And they got just trounced by James Madison. I'm on Troy.
What's the line on this? Sorry.
-8.5, Troy.
What did they lose by, 30 or 35 to James Madison?
They lost by 40 to James Madison last week.
That's rough. Yeah, I guess give me Troy. That's such a bad loss.
All right, we got a fun one, Andy.
So this will be tough. LSU and Georgia. LSU 9-3. Prior to tonight's rankings, they were, number 5. Georgia number 1 undefeated. They're -17.5 point favorites. LSU losing to Texas A&M again, a non-bowl eligible team at 5-7. That's a bad, bad loss to end your season.
I can't wait for my timeout here. I'm so excited. Go ahead.
Give me Georgia. I mean, Georgia easy money line. I think Georgia.
Georgia money line will be almost off.
Yeah, I think that's all we're picking here. I don't know if we're not doing spreads on this.
No.
But I like Georgia to win, potentially LSU to cover though.
I agree with Andy. I think Georgia wins this game, but 17.5 is a lot of points. I would take LSU in the points, but Georgia to win straight.
Kirby has the dogs rolling. However, and I'm not saying LSU is going to win, you have a massive CFP problem if LSU wins this game.
Oh, there's so many games that can all go haywire. You look at
this. Is this the most interesting weekend outside when Ohio State snuck in and won the title?
I mean, look, number 1, 3, and 4, all those guys can. Or I don't think Michigan's going to lose, but 1, 3, and 4, all those guys can lose.
Correct.
And so just, Georgia's in.
Yeah,
Georgia's in.
No, I would say Michigan's guaranteed in. They're not going to lose to Purdue.
Right, because if
a one loss Georgia is still guaranteed in. They'll be the
correct.
Corner.
So Georgia's in. You can't have a Purdue winner. Let's say random stuff happens and Purdue's up 21-0 right from the get go, and then they have to battle back and lose. You're hard pressed to put a Ohio State in over a one loss Michigan, right? So you have massive problems this weekend.
Yeah, but you also, like, Michigan's at the benefit of knowing since they played at 8 p.m., there's one game after them that doesn't matter. That's Clemson and UNC. But TCU has already played. USC's played the night before, and Georgia and LSU is finishing up. So they know they pretty much know their route
right
at that point.
Exciting stuff. Go ahead, Andy.
Who's you taking, Georgia or LSU?
Are we talking money line?
Yes, just win the game.
Georgia.
Okay. This is my favorite one. I love this game.
Is it the Clemson game?
No.
This is American Athletic.
Yeah, Tulane has been one of my favorite teams to watch all year. UFC number 22, they're 9-3. Going to Tulane, this is hosted at Tulane, who is 10-2. They're -3.5 point favorites. Last time out, it was a 38-31 winner by UFC at Tulane.
UCF. We're not fighting.
Sorry, UCF. Dyslexic.
Dude, and Anthony William does that all the time. He makes fun of it. Go ahead.
I like Tulane here. I think they're looking for revenge since the last time out. Tajay Spears, over 100 yards at each of the last 6 games. He's averaging 144 yards per game on the ground. Give me the green wave. Get him into a good bowl game. Maybe they sneak into one of those New Year's 6 games by winning the conference.
Right.
And I like the green wave here, -3.5.
I'm with Tulane. Mark?
I'm going to go with the Golden Knights.
You would. They're they have their banner hanging for their perfect season still.
Yeah, pathetic.
Hey, I would too.
All right, this one really don't matter that much. Mountain West, Fresno State 8-4, Boise State 9-3. Last time they played, Boise routed them 40-20. The spread's -3. Boise State, give me the Broncos. It's a home game.
That's for my
them.
Favorite. That's my. Is it at? Yeah, I'm all over that.
Go Broncos.
All right, another one that really lopsided here.
Yep. Michigan going to Purdue. Just McCarthy's just, he's going to be a lazy, boring QB. -16.5. Michigan wins. They're in. I think they cover as well. I think they just prove a point.
Yep.
No hangover.
Michigan.
Yep. Agree.
Last but not least, your guys' favorite conference.
The ACC. What a sloppy conference it was this year.
And has had their own conference championship problems in the past as well.
Yeah. Clemson, they're number 8. They're on the outside looking in. A lot has to go right for them to have a chance to somehow make it. They're -7.5 against UNC. This game's in Charlotte, so it's not a far trip. Not a far
road trip
for either team, Clemson or UNC. I just think, you know, freshman Drake May with UNC, he's been great, but 68% of the plays on offense have involved him with 161 carries for your QB, your freshman QB. I think he's starting to show a little bit of wear and tear, and I think Clemson is here to prove a point. I like Clemson to win, and I like Clemson to cover.
I 100% agree. Clemson's been a real strong football team all year. Yes, they lost to a good Notre Dame team, and then they lost to the South Carolina, who they also had a big upset, like 2 weeks in a row. Not going to hold that against them. I'm liking Clemson as well.
Clemson. I don't disagree. All right. I'm going to talk a little World Cup here, Andy. Get that pizza sliced up here because I am literally starving. Guys, World Cup is in action. We're going to talk about it. Obviously not the biggest soccer fans. However, it's once every 4 years. The United States missed out 4 years ago. It's the first time in action in the last 8 years. New coach and one of the youngest teams in the tournament. They are big winners today. 1-0 win with Christian Pulisic getting the goal, having to go to the hospital because of an abdominal injury. And then he Snapchats out that he will be ready to go Saturday. 1-0-2. They only gave up one goal the entire group play. And it was on a penalty kick. So they didn't give up any goals.
But he deflected it, too.
Right. They had the 1-1 draw against Wales, which people looked at it kind of as a disappointment because they thought we could go out and beat Wales. The big game was the 0-0 draw.
Did Wales win today against England?
No, I believe England beat the piss out of them. Okay. We can say that because that's more appropriate, right? Okay. And then, obviously, today the big 1-0 winner. You know, I know a little bit about some of the guys here, and what I'll say is I'm proud that these young guys, I think that there was a lot of talk about them being a bit too young and going out. They didn't lose a game. Obviously, there are ties in soccer. After the group play, there are no more ties. I'm impressed, and I think the future is very, very bright for this squad, regardless of what happens. Next game, Mark, pull it up. I think they're playing the Dutch. I think they're playing Netherlands in the first round of the 16 teams left.
Correct, they are.
Yeah, and obviously they're not going to be favored whatsoever. The Dutch in the last, I think, 3 World Cups have had strong showings. Is this me here?
Yeah.
You guys have anything to add?
Soccer's boring.
No, it's been exciting to see Team USA. You know, moving on, I'm not a big soccer fan, but if USA's on, I'll watch it. If we would have been eliminated today, I probably would have been done with the World Cup. That might not be a popular thing to say, but, you know, that's just how I am, I guess. But, yeah, it's exciting to see USA go on this far. England was one of the favorites to win the whole thing.
Correct.
And we were able to get a 0-0 draw with them.
Yeah, once again, you didn't give up any goals.
And somebody compared it, he goes, you know, baseball or NFL, like, it's the biggest thing here. Could you imagine our all-star team of baseball or NFL players playing an England team? Like, and if there was a tie, we'd be embarrassed. So,
yeah, they definitely were pissed.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's an exciting time, and I'm excited to keep watching. You guys going to rate your pizza? I saw you.
Yeah, I'm still going.
Okay.
Other things to note, obviously Neymar with the injury. He's hoping to be back for Brazil near the round of 16. Japan had the massive upset over Germany, and Argentina upset by Saudi Arabia. That was big, but all those teams look to be going on. I'm not sure about Saudi Arabia. I know they had the big win. How about the no alcohol thing with all the Budweiser?
What a buzzkill.
Yeah, what a lucky country. Someone's going to end up with a lot of beer. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I got one coming for you.
Oh.
The service here is great.
Yeah, it is.
That's all I have for World Cup, guys. Obviously, I think that the group, I think the round of 16 is, I feel like the music's getting louder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Round of 16.
They're probably trying to push us out.
Yeah.
Round of 16 starts, I believe, Saturday. Last but not least, Mark, if you weren't here tonight, we weren't going to do this UFC. We're going to wait for you. But there's a fight night card this weekend. And then UFC 282, the last pay-per-view. Thank you so much. Last pay-per-view of the year. There's massive storylines going into this next year. Of note, breaking news today, Nate Diaz has finally got his granted his release from the UFC. News from the last week, and you know, Andy said he doesn't really want to talk about this too much. Conor McGregor has now re-entered the USADA drug testing program. He must submit to 6 months of random drug testing and pass. He looks massive. I think he's going to try to join in on the welterweight fund, which is absolutely psycho, and I'm going to get to welterweight here in a minute.
But it's probably more pay-per-view wise in that division.
Right.
That's where the money is.
Here's the thing with that. We're going to see the same old Conor, the guy that can last, seven and a half minutes.
If he can. Right? Because
his cardio isn't going to be there. He's going to have to trim down.
They're going
to
pair him against a guy that will only want to stand up.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to see that. I think he's going to get popped for steroids. There's definitely something going on there. And
you don't get that big.
No, you definitely don't. I don't know. It's just I'm over him. I'm over the stuff he's been tweeting, the stuff he said to people in the past that beat him. What was something that could have been phenomenal went sour.
Right.
It went sour very fast, and it's on him.
I'm going to run through the divisions here, and I just want to hear you guys' opinion. Bantamweight right now, Aljamain Sterling obviously had the big win over Petr Yan. He is now, believe it or not, I don't know if you guys knew this, he is the last United States champion right now. Sugar Shane O'Malley, he had the big win over Petr Yan. Debatable who actually won. However, you don't leave it in the hands of the judges, and that's what we have judges for. That's a massive victory for him. Aljamain Sterling doesn't want to fight till the summer now. You guys' thoughts?
That's
guess
rough.
Who's looming? I know you don't want to hear it. Triple C. Henry Cejudo wants to get back on the fun.
Yeah, I saw that little face-off he had with Sterling outside the octagon. Where was that at?
A boxing,
maybe.
I think, or something. Or Bellator?
Could be.
I just don't like that these guys dictate when they can fight, when they can't fight, when they can defend their title. I mean, hell, the guys in WWF were doing it every Monday. Once a month on pay-per-view.
Sometimes twice a night.
We're going to get to them in a little bit. Say whatever you want about Israel Adesanya. 3 to 4 fights a year. So we'll get to him in a minute.
He did. There's also other guys that fought a bunch a year, and, it cost them some rankings in their career because they fought so much. I mean, look at a guy like Cowboy. That's it. How many title fights did he have?
None.
Exactly. But he still fought 50 times. He's a Hall of Famer now. He probably made a shit ton of money doing it.
Moving on. Featherweight, lightweight, kind of in limbo right now. Lightweight used to be one of my favorite divisions, but now we're seeing Alexander Volkanovski versus Islam. They're going to do this fight at 155, it sounds like. I'm not excited either. I don't know what Dana's thinking here is with the matchmaking, but it does put both. I don't like this because it puts two divisions kind of in limbo, waiting to see what happens here, especially featherweight.
No, I agree, but I don't know if Volkanovski's going to be too small. Granted, he's going to be quicker. Can he stuff those takedowns? Can he hang with those heavier guys? We'll see. Interesting fight. I just don't.
And he's pound for pound number one right now.
Right.
Which, that's a big ordeal with the UFC.
So, we'll see. I hope it's as good as it is on paper. Let's put it that way. I have my my reserves about it, though.
So, not much getting the juices flowing there. I'm going to read off some names here. Edwards, Usman, Colby, Shamaev, Muhammad, Burns, Thompson, Neal, Brady, Luka, Romanoff, and Jorge Masvidal. All welterweights.
Oh, I thought that was your caption of where have they been?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I was going to say the same thing about Ngannou. And
now Edwards.
When was the last time there's been a heavyweight title fight?
We'll get there. Edwards doesn't really want to fight.
Chalk.
Well, he wants to hold his title for a little bit. He doesn't want to give it up.
Because Usman was beating him until that last Granted, you got to finish the fight. I'm just saying.
That's how some guys climb in the rankings, though, those flash knockouts. Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
I love Derek Lewis, but we know that's how he climbed with...
Same with Tai Tuivasa.
I'm going to hand this around to you guys. Look at the welterweights there, the names. Tell me some of the matchups, and Mark, maybe off the top of your head, a fight you'd like to see at welterweight. A Colby fight.
Colby Covington? Wow. I'll have to see the list. I'm a big Colby Covington fan.
Me too.
I think he's a great heel. He's a great fighter.
And obviously he's fake.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. I'm okay with it.
But I mean, dude, him versus Leon Edwards would be awesome.
It wouldn't give the explosion if he was facing like Muhammad or Chimaev or one of those guys. And
I know him and Chimaev, that was a talk, and I would love to see that.
I mean, I think he beats him. I don't know. I like Colby. I think he's fun. I think he's exciting. I think he's explosive. I think he can take an absolute beating. You know, finish the Usman fight with a broken jaw. I don't know how that's possible.
Do you see Michael Chandler's calling out Masvidal now?
And Chandler's one of my favorite fighters, man.
Dude, so they were talking about how Chandler, he's not really going for any title fights. He just wants money fights.
He'll make that.
He can sell every fight. He's got to win one here soon.
So he was the one that calling out the McGregors. Because
it feels like he beat, what's his name? It feels like so long ago. Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, Michael Chandler's one of my favorites.
Moving on, middleweight. We just had some fun a couple weeks ago. Alex Paella and Israel Adesanya. Whitaker and Cannonier fight here soon. This is another division that's got a lot of guys that I love. Obviously, Izzy and Paella should run it back. Andy, tell me the truth. From a fighting competition standpoint, is Israel Adesanya ever going to beat Alex Paella in 25 minutes?
I don't think so. I don't think he has the endurance for somebody, or the fight smarts for somebody that can go a full 25 minutes, be that aggressive. He's been able to dodge. He's been able to just kind of like survive in fights. He's been fairly boring, and that's kind of what Usman was doing.
And Paella is a guy that is proven. It doesn't matter how tired he is. He's now one of the most dangerous killers in the game.
Correct, but let's be honest. The UFC doesn't want to see that anymore. They don't want to see guys that just survive to keep their belt. If you're a champion, they want to see you go out there and dominate the fight. And it's not pick them apart. They want to see people get knocked down. They want to see people thrown in submissions, control on the mat. Just if you're going to go five rounds, absolutely dominate them. Don't make it a snooze fest.
Didn't he just recently call out Chimaev?
Alex?
I believe.
I didn't see this. You're going to have to find that.
He did an interview on with Ariel, and I believe he said he would fight him at 205. So, I mean, those guys are both killers.
Some of the bad news about Paella: doesn't want to fight, wants to wait.
Sure. We'll see.
And you guys brought up the heavyweights. Light heavyweight, obviously, we have bad news about next weekend. Prochazka is hurt. He says, hey, don't... He tells Dana, my shoulder's screwed up. Don't do an interim title fight. I'm giving up my belt. You love to see that, because nobody loves this two-champ stuff. Unfortunately, I thought, given that the publicity that Alex Paella and that Jim got, I thought Glover Teixeira was going to get the title bout.
He apparently declined the title fight.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they offered it to him, and he said no.
I think he got what he wanted. He just wanted the belt. He just wanted to be champ. And
he's 43, 42?
He did it so late in his career that, he's like, whatever. Don't steal from the fans.
Sure.
He's a man of the people.
We'll talk that fight next week when we give our predictions. And obviously, you guys brought up the heavyweight division, which has been just...
sucks.
Like, what, you have Ty, Cyril, Ngannou's hurt.
Heavyweight division used to be one of the most exciting.
Yeah.
You have these big knockouts. You have these big names. And now it's Ngannou's gone. Stipe's, is he retired? Is he gone? We don't know. I mean, basically, you're looking at Derek Lewis tied to Ivasa.
Yes, Cyril gone, but he's boring.
Yeah, and they fight three times a year, all of them.
Exactly.
Disappointed.
I got the rankings here. Curtis Razorblades,
like what,
at three.
But his jaw.
He's like the heavyweights. It's a week.
Well, Blades got knocked out by Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
Disappointing. It's disappointing the way that division's gone. And maybe some of these younger guys will start stepping up and, you know, making it a little bit more competitive. But I'd like to continue to see him on the cards. It seems the only heavyweights that we see are these overweight guys with, they get punched. There's a lot of,
the one knockout power.
Yeah, right. Or there's a lot of jiggle in the stomach that's like, how is this guy a UFC fighter? Now, not to take anything away from him, he's definitely put the training in. He's in the octagon doing it, but it doesn't look like an Ngannou, a Stipe, you know, one of those guys that are like, all right, this dude's a UFC fighter, and he can...
Honestly, they need John Jones and Stipe to help save that division.
I think it's too late.
I disagree. I think John Jones still sells. Granted, he hasn't fought in how many years, but people know that name, and
it sells.
And Stipe is one of the well-known heavyweights of all time. So,
yeah. You think Stipe is waiting for that?
Don't get me wrong. I'd be ecstatic to see that.
I think Stipe would 100% take that fight. It's a huge money fight.
But what's it for? Is it just for money? Is it, you know?
In my mind, it is for money now. I mean, if he doesn't get the title, it's not going to affect his legacy anymore. So he might as well.
Right, he's one of the greatest heavyweights.
So to say that you beat John Jones, you beat Daniel Cormier, to say that you beat these guys as a heavyweight, I mean, that'd be huge to go in for. That's just another thing that he could put on his mantle, saying, I did that too.
You retire after it. And you just go, hey, you know, I fought him. Maybe I didn't win, but...
That's probably one of the big fights I want to see as a UFC. Like, if I'm building like a dream card...
We need to do that.
I'd love to see a Stipe John Jones.
Let's finish off the calendar year. Let's do a dream card in January where, you know... Don't they do two cards in January or February just to build the momentum up for the year?
I think they take some time off at the end of the year around New Year's. But, you know, Mighty Mouse would be on mine.
Oh, yeah. Anything else you guys want to add? This is a good episode. Mark, welcome back, man.
I got a quick thing. So sure. We're almost in December, and I know we don't really talk professional wrestling on the show, and I'm a huge pro wrestling fan. I know a couple of guys that listen are. What are you guys' thoughts about maybe like selling some, I don't want to say like squares, but for the Royal Rumble in January, sell some spots, 30 spots?
I think we can sell it out on both sides.
So, yeah, something to think about.
Will went to get more pizza.
Oh, shock.
I think we could sell it on both sides, the women's and the men's, the go to Royal Rumble, because that's what, mid-January they usually do that?
Yeah, so, I mean, WWE's been huge now. I mean, they got the stories with the Bloodline, Sami Zayn. People are loving it. It's been really great. I know WWE, they're coming back in Cleveland.
Yeah, the holiday tour, the 28th, 29th?
I believe so, yeah. So, yeah, it's been real exciting, so...
You spearhead that. You come up with the way you want to do that. I'm glad you mentioned that. We do have to get the Capital One Bold Challenge pick.
Yeah, we have to do that again.
So that starts next week. We have to get that up.
We gotta get it going. Are we just what's the prize gonna be this year?
Jersey.
We're doing a jersey again.
And Mark's still owed a jersey.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
We gotta do that again though. We'll get the link active as soon as I don't think they open it up until all the conference championships are done.
Yeah, I think after Saturday
they won't know the bowl pick 'em or the picks for them. But we'll get that rolling again. That was fun last year.
Speaking of the link, shout out to everybody in the Discord.
Oh yeah, we forgot about that.
That has been amazing the last 2 weeks. The college basketball picks.
Yeah, I mean
unbelievable.
You guys also didn't rate the pizza yet.
Mm.
I will say this, and this isn't just because we're here. It's way better than what Firehouse used to be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's that greasy.
Yeah, it's already on Will's jeans.
Massive mess here. Thicker. The pepperoni is awesome. Crust is great. I'm giving this an
8.9 coming out.
Yeah. 8.5 out of 10. This is really good. This is really, really good pizza.
It's in the 8 somewhere for me. It's,
right on. I still haven't tried it. I had some shout out to North Royalton hopping I had some Chinese.
They're still open?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what I had for dinner.
Guaranteed tonight. We're never doing a podcast from the front there.
Why? Then never mind. I'm not going to say it.
No, say it.
Well, this was great. I wish Mary could have joined us. She texted me some things that she did want me to advertise, which I will read.
Yeah, and then we'll wrap it up.
Right now? Once my phone unlocks. All right, so Mary mentioned this weekend for Saturday or Sunday football. You don't have to mention anything. You just come in. You get a medium one topping and a tall draft of your choice for $11.99. No Christmas sale on draft tonight.
Yeah,
we've aired our grievances with there's Audrey and Andrea, right? With Andrea, yeah. We let her know, and you know, she apologized for the mix-up. And then Friday's moving forward. This is a new one, Mama's Fish Fry, featuring Lake Erie perch, fries, and coleslaw. We would appreciate that, and thank you for doing the podcast up here.
Angela Malicki, longtime listener to the podcast. Thinks every fish that is caught is a perch, so I'm sure he would love that perch up here.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to try it. Yeah, just
they, and they also said, you know, family friend on the place, they're going to get the, they got like a mini bowling here. They're going to start doing like a kids league with that. That should be fun.
I'll talk it up. I mean, they did a great job taking it from what it was to what it is right now, adding the pinball, adding the golden tee back here, dartboards.
I want to add a golden tee league.
I think it's possible. You know, they refelted the pool table. I'm sure that's still the original pool table from the firehouse days. They redid the floors.
Should I bring the cue ball back?
You should.
I'm kidding. I don't.
They do bingos on Thursdays. I didn't see anything else on Fridays, Saturdays. I know they're looking for a DJ.
I'm here.
If only we knew one.
If only we had one. But
well, Andy has some say now because he's 1% owner of the company.
That is the minority owner.
Vast minority. Let's add that to the card there.
I can come DJ at my 1% with a iPod.
Approved. Sure. Approved.
On shuffle.
All right.
No requests.
I think at this point it's time to hand this thing over to Scott Hall. Thank you, Mama Romito's, tonight for the food. We had a blast. We will talk to everybody here very, very, very soon.
Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.